You're an artist.
Yes, sir.
How would you describe your discipline?
My discipline. I think it's evolution is a big part of it.
Evolution.
Evolution. Mm-hmm. I think when we talk about, I will liken it to revolution as well.
Okay.
Because it's all about change, mm-hmm. and adaptability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as an artist, I know that I don't know everything. I have so much to learn.
Correct.
And if I become hard headed to not learn, I'm not moving, and mm-hmm. I'm not able to, be my authentic self, because if I become dogmatic about, you know, what I know, mm-hmm. it's restrictions. Mm-hmm. It doesn't allow me to evolve. It doesn't allow me to be able to see things from different perspectives. And so mm-hmm. for me, it's always about evolution mm-hmm. and change and adaptability and, you know, failing at the end of the day, failing. As an artist, you know, I've not shared a lot of my work, but for me, I always make it a point to, when I am extremely uncomfortable about an art piece that I produced, mm-hmm. I challenge myself, share that piece, mm-hmm. put it out there.
I remember when I reached out for, by the way, thank you, man, for coming out. We had a Kicheko, or one of our first
workers.
That was great. You came, you actually shared with us a lot of pieces that you have not really like shared with the world. Guys, go check it out on YouTube. Born to Win, Latios live performance over there. Y'all did amazing, man. You know which bit like I liked the most?
Uh-huh.
There were two bits.
Uh-huh.
Actually, three bits. The first bit, you brought a flag.
Yes, sir.
You brought your home to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were in the village back then, people would walk in with gifts. Like, I'm just letting you guys know, this is my peacock. So you had your flag over there. Number two, you took off everything. You're like, now this is me. This is like almost the vest I used to wear, but let me take myself back there. When you grabbed that guitar, I was like, oh, man's is taking off. How was the experience to Born to Win? How was it for you?
Oh, man, on that night?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, bro. I showed up early.
You came even before me.
First, I'm not missing it because I just, you know, I was excited, mm-hmm. man. I have to say that I was really excited. Yeah. And I think it was something special because, you know, the pieces that I ended up sharing with everybody, the guitar piece is, you know, one of the oldest pieces that I actually, the oldest pieces that I presented that night.
Yeah.
And it's an evolution, and correct. It has its own story. Mm-hmm. But then the raps were the new part of it.
The new, you know, part
the,
of
the,
it.
The new
spoken word energy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I, you know what I'm saying? I was excited to share those pieces and, mm-hmm. test my metal. Again, like I said, you know, I create, but mm-hmm. then if I find myself being uncomfortable or having anxiety,
yeah.
I put myself out there and I share that piece. And, you know, some of the message, especially that I share, I didn't know how it was going to be received, mm-hmm. but just to be able to speak it, share my voice, mm-hmm. and was something that was very, very exciting for me. And I'm, you know, I was really grateful. And I, you know, I was early. I'm like, I'm not going to make you wait. I'm going to make sure that to the best of my ability,
yeah.
I'm going to put my best foot forward. And so I do appreciate that, man.
Yeah,
started off, you know, Black History Month off right.
Started off right. For people aspiring to be like you, can you walk us through your creative process when you're composing music? How do you draw inspiration from maybe your personal experiences or your cultural? What inspires you to write when you're either in the back room, basement, rooftop, bush? Wait. How do you write?
So one of my teachers in the past told me, good writers have good memory, first of all. But also you write down a lot. So I am constantly writing. I have so many different poems. Mm-hmm. And a big part of why I write so much and take so many notes is because also I feel a lot.
Mm.
And I think as an artist,
you're an empath.
Empath, you mm-hmm. know, we feel a lot. And, you know, for me, it's part of, you know, processing all my emotions and things like that. But mm-hmm. I'm constantly thinking of how can I say, you know, I have messages that I want to share with people. I have truths that I want to be able to put out there so that they last. Mm. And so now that's where the artistry comes in, is how can you produce something that is timeless? And you know, it's, you know, when you're producing, how do you produce something timeless? That's where, you know, I've also learned mm-hmm. you make a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be afraid, because you could put out, you know, 100 pieces, mm-hmm. but only 2, 3, 4, 5 of them end up meeting that standard for yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, for me, it's just about making the mistakes, finding my emotions, and just letting life inspire me, man.
Yeah.
There's, you know, especially the times that we're living in right now.
Yeah.
there's a thousand things that can inspire
you from different angles.
From very different angles. And so just being open as an artist, just being open, not closing off avenues of inspiration, not allowing fear and doubt
and anxiety to
dictate what I write.
Yeah.
And to just put it out there. Even for my, I write a lot for myself, and I do like it when I produce something that's really cool. I'm like, I find that really cool. And I enjoy it. You know, it's not necessarily always about other people or sending a message to other people. It's finding an enjoyment about what I've created. And
for you, it's a healing thing. I think I told somebody it's like a placebo pill for me because I want to go back. Some days I have really bad days.
Yeah.
And I want to look back at my art as my sativa, like to numb my pain. You know what I'm saying? That's my thing. It just sounds a lot. Especially from our community that we don't go to therapists as much. Therapists are like $250 a week. Nobody has $1,000 every month to go have your feelings like reversed. So
yeah,
it's good. It's good. Thank you for bringing that point.
Absolutely.
And as an artist with roots in Sudan, there are a lot of complex issues that I feel like our art should start addressing. Back in the day when I used to make music, I was influenced by Jamaican, Caribbean people, but it was more like I was in my 20s. So my music was more like entertainment, you know, girls, you know, adolescents, things about the loins, you know, loins.
Shake that thing.
Shake that thing, you know. But how do you address the complex and often devastating issues of, you know, both of us know what war is about. And now we have regions like Congo, Eritrea. We have South Sudan right now. Somalia is already battling it. How do you address it through your art?
You know, that is you know, truly for me, that's where artistry comes in. It's how can you take such heavy topics? Because at the end of the day, we're all feeling these heavy, you know, heavy vibes.
Especially if your family's still back there.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, you know, you don't want to always be thinking about, you don't want to be thinking about it in a way that brings you down. And so for me, it's about transmutation, you know,
That's the word. I like
of
that.
It. Taking that energy and having, first of all, it's about having that courage, right? Having the courage to look at the situation for the reality for what it is, not being afraid of the truth. That's the first step, is taking that truth and then going within yourself and finding what works for you. Like, you know, for me, I like, you know, I'm seeing, you know, seeing war in Sudan and, you know, seeing images of, you know, women and children that look like my mom, that look like my brother.
These guys are here.
You know what I'm saying? I'm seeing I don't want to say it's easy to relate, but for me, it's like it triggers a type of anxiety within me, and it motivates me to not want to see these things again. And that's where the transmutation happens, where it's like, I don't want to see these things again. And so now how do I make sure these things don't happen? And so that's where the magic begins for me. It's like, okay, I'm creating this, you know, this rap. How can I play with these words to be able to make them, you know, make them sharp so they can cut through the veil,
you know,
just to get to the point, but also empower you, like, hey, you know, we see these things happening, but I'm a product of what is going on there right now, but I'm still standing here.
Which means
there's
gratitude and there's hope.
There's hope. That's a big part of it. It's like transmuting it, creating that sense of there is hope. You can. So I remember, a while back, I was on a different podcast, and one of the big things, and I had been pushing, you know, after the pandemic and witnessing the powerlessness that a lot of, you know, if you're out there in the street marching, protesting, talking to city officials, talking to everybody, when you're seeking change and you're not seeing the change, what do you do next? That's a question that I grappled with, and it really broke my heart that there isn't, you know, a sense of responsibility or, you know, that comes with people who have power and position. They're not very responsive to the needs of the people. And so what the message that became clear to me that I had to push for myself, but then to share with other people too, is that we have value within us. We don't always have, you know, nobody truly has monopoly on power. You can be a kid from a refugee camp. You can be, you know, you can be a child of war. You can be a child of all types of abuses, but that never takes away the fact that you still have power within yourself.
Some type of power, yeah.
you always have that power, and it's just about cultivating it. And so I was like, oh, it's value within, value within. Mm-hmm. And that's the transmutation that I seek to cultivate within myself. Mm-hmm. Never lose sight of the power that exists within me. And then, you know, setting, you know, it's like a candle, you know, I put my candle next to your candle gets lit. Correct. And now you manage your own energy. Mm-hmm. It's not about taking other people's energy or taking mm-hmm. other people's power.
Correct.
Because that already happens enough. It's about lighting my own candle, helping you light your own candle.
I like and now that. Everybody, we have a room full of light.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, we can all contribute to just lightening the mood, changing the scenario and situations that we're in, mm-hmm. no matter where you come from. And you know, that's a part of my, you know.
Putting that on it, do you believe music and art helps us raise awareness and promotes understanding the challenges that are in between immigrants here and immigrants there? Do you think what we're doing, even with Kicheko, the platform, you heard me on my stand-up, I use that a lot. Mm-hmm. I love the way mm-hmm. you said transmutation, because I think you've seen how my comedy is just that. It's just the tragedy you flip.
Yep, yep,
do you believe through our art and music, we are raising awareness in a proper way, or do you think there's more to be done?
I think that, you know, when you say a proper way, in my opinion, going back to the evolution thing, mm-hmm. you know, what is proper today could be improper tomorrow. What's effective today could
cancel
be ineffective
culture.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, correct.
There is constant change. And mm-hmm. so for me, it's about the message. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, you're using comedy. I'm using, you know what I'm saying, rap, music. Mm-hmm. We know our other brother, he paints.
He paints, I love my brother, yeah.
It's about the message, because there are other people doing the same thing, but the message may not be
landing to,
you know, it may not be landing. And so just for me, it's about working with the message. It doesn't matter what venue or avenue you're using to be able to speak. Mm-hmm. It's about the message. Mm-hmm. And when you're able to create situations like, you know, opportunities like Kicheko and I, for people to come out and be able to speak and share the truth as they see
as
it,
as they feel it.
It's that for me, job done.
Job done.
You know what I'm saying? You created the opportunity. People came, the energy was created. Now it's about empowering other people to be able to now do what you will with what you have experienced.
Now you have the tools.
You have the tools.
It's go shine now.
Exactly, man. Exactly,
how do you navigate the balance between expressing personal stories and emotions in your music while addressing the broader societal issues like what we have here, displacement in Africa, war and cultural identity? How do you balance the two? You actually mentioned it a little bit in how, like, you know, you also don't want to always be this pessimistic energy in art. Mm-hmm, your mm-hmm. medium has to show both.
Yeah.
But how do you balance? Because the writing also, even in your poetry, do you adjust your writing based on the audience, or you find a way to, how can I put that?
I understand what you're saying. For me, I think about my audience a lot.
Yeah.
I think for me, once the inspiration lands on me outside of everybody else, mm-hmm. something becomes pertinent within myself. Mm-hmm. I have to speak about this, right? Mm-hmm. Once I have that kernel of truth that I want to spread,
yeah,
it becomes, for me, the next question I think about is, as I'm trying to express this, who am I picturing in my mind?
Even the kid in South Sudan, the kid in Kenya, oh, the kid right here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my next question. Mm-hmm. This idea comes and it's like, oh, who am I talking to? And then I look at who I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes there's certain things that I want to say to you that I don't want to say to everybody else, you know? And so I have to, okay, now think, if what I'm saying is for the person in my mind that I have is this person, how can I make it reach them? Mm-hmm. But then there, you know, but at the same time, I also then I'm like, okay, I make sure that I put my energy in there to make sure that these people are able to receive the message the way I want it to be received. Mm-hmm. But then now this is the other fun part of it. How can I add then now different spins and layers to it so that, you know, it may not be necessarily for this kind of pop, for this group exactly, mm-hmm. but they can be able to receive it as well mm-hmm. in a way that, you know, just for them to be able to receive it. So I make it very receivable, but for me, there is a core audience. And a lot of the time for me, I'm targeting young African people, or just African people in general. When I write, I want to speak to that African person, because a lot of media that we consume, the audience in mind is, you know, Americans,
Europeans.
It's like, no, we need to craft our art so that it speaks to the African mm-hmm. within the African, mm-hmm. you know, that authentic African person within them. And
they can see themselves in us.
That's what it is. Is, you know, talk about concept of Ubuntu. Mm-hmm. You know, I am because
you are.
You know, connecting that. And so, I think me on a journey of being an authentic African and connecting with our ancient roots. Once I find that deep vibration, I have to pull it, and then I have to let it come out through me, so that, you know, it resonates with the deep African within you. You know, you might go a long amount of time without getting that kind of, you know, somebody sending you that kind of energy that comes from.
Yeah, because remember, this is North. North is Seattle freeze. North is torn it down. It's loud.
Yep.
You know, too aggressive. There's a safe word me and my wife use called overwhelmed. Everybody's overwhelmed in North America. So whenever we feel like it's a topic we don't want to talk about, we're like, Latios, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. I wish I could tell my mother when I was back in Africa that I'm overwhelmed. I would have dug my own grave. Overwhelmed by what? Finish your food. Overwhelmed. Anyway, I got two more questions.
Yes, sir.
Thank you again for sharing this time around with us today. But we've slid through a lot of topics, and I'm really glad we went in depth in a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Can you share a specific example of a song or a piece of art where you feel you successfully merged all the themes you've spoken about with immigrant life, Pan-African solidarity, you know, also your happiness, your love, because you have a love life, you know, are you attracted to chicken? No, you're attracted to people. So things that you love, your food, your music, how you sleep, your mental health, your meditation. Do you have pieces where you're like, this song, I was in a zen?
Oh, definitely. The song that I played on the guitar, that song holds a lot of value for me.
Mm-hmm. What's the song called?
Well, I call it, you know, for me, there's different titles depending, because there's different versions of the song. That's why I've created different versions
of the song. Okay.
You know, so the original is guitar oriented. Yeah. And so for that one, I call it Weary.
Correct.
Feeling Weary.
Weary. Okay.
Yeah. But then, you know, when I'm rapping it, I call it Shadows of the Moon.
Correct.
You know, so for me, it's about, you know, again, interpreting the music differently. But that piece, you know, the story I wrote about it, man, is when I wrote that song, I was having a bad, no good day.
It was one of those days,
yeah. Man. And I was just, you know, things weren't going my way at all, you know. And for me, I was hungry. Mm-hmm. I was sitting there, you know, I was cold. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up meeting with my brother, and you know, he had his music studio. I'm like, all right, man, let's just make some music, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, we tried a lot of different things, and I was like, at that time I didn't really know the guitar that well. And so I was like, but I'll take the guitar. Mm-hmm. I took it, I started strumming it, and that's when the lyrics started coming out. You know, it's like, when you're feeling weary and the sun is hot, does a cold heart bring you comfort? Like, because I was feeling that, I was just, and for me, it merges a lot of, you know, my experience as coming to America. I say, when the crown of gold is too bloody to touch, to protect your head, what do you sport? Like, what do you wear to protect your head? Mm-hmm. Because we come to America, well, you know, everybody's here. I want to get the crown. I want to get the gold. I want to get the money. I want to get that. Mm-hmm. But what if that comes with a price that you might not want to pay?
Oh, yep.
You know, and
it's too heavy.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's blood on it. There's blood all on it. Would you still
want to get it?
Yeah.
Like the way right now in my industry right now, it's very, the comedy scene is very combative. And I love comedy, but some of the people I used to look up to, some of the people were like my golden level, the yardstick I used to measure success in the comedy world.
Yeah.
They are here battling out like so badly. And I'm like, this is not the energy I wanted with 2024. It's just been, everybody's coming for each other. And it made me sometimes, you know, question, step back. Is this the energy I want to walk into? Mm-hmm. Because I am not walking in love no more.
Mm.
I am literally bringing every stereotype, everything that I despise as a person into an art form that should be my safe space. Talking about safe space, I have collaborated with a lot of nonprofits, and I have seen you, like, this is not our first time we were performing together. I think we did there was one of those pop-ups. I think it was the Ethiopian restaurant with Simon. That freestyle was hot.
I do remember.
It took me back to my freestyle dancing days. I have the clip. I love the mashups. Shout out to Comfort One Vibe Band.
Yeah.
Shout out to Simon Okello. That was a vibe. Yeah. How was that experience for you? It was a mashup. It was just like, yo, pass the mic. It was like, whatever, pass the mic. How was it?
That was good, man. Yeah. I think it was, you know, for me, I think as an artist, there have been moments that, you know, that show me that, wait a minute. But at the time when I wasn't fully in that, I wasn't calling myself an artist. Mm. I wasn't calling myself a musician. Mm-hmm. But there were moments when I, you know, work, you know, made music with other musicians, mm-hmm. that remind me, like, you have something.
You have something. I don't know what you know, but you have something.
You have something. Yeah, and yeah. So that was another night. You know, for me, I got to play in the back of the guitar with Frank, who's mm-hmm. from Roomba.
Yeah, Frank playing Roomba notes.
You know,
yeah.
play the guitar with him, and you know, just kind of, you know, with, and everybody, Bob Antonin and everybody there, and then, you know, we did the freestyling. Mm-hmm. And those were moments when I was like, okay, I have something. And so I have to cultivate it. And I think all artists, especially young people, or if you know, if you don't have a lot of inspiration around you, mm-hmm. being around other artists or people who are pursuing similar mm-hmm. things can give you that confidence of, wait, I do have something and mm-hmm. it's of value mm-hmm. because I'm around these other people as mm-hmm. well who are doing similar things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I belong in a space.
You're around family. This is my community right here.
So that's huge, man. That's huge. You know, I you know, even that restaurant, you know, the piece that was painted on the wall mm-hmm. was by our brother Edimbo.
Yeah. Shout out to Edimbo.
Shout out to the brother, man, always. And so it's just about recognizing those moments that can give you, you know, a sense of place, mm-hmm. you know, inspiration to continue pursuing your art. It's huge, man. It's huge. So yeah, shout out to them. And I know you guys, you know, Madaraka Festival.
Yeah, we're about to bring Madaraka Fest all city to city. Oh, wait. I'm going to keep that on wraps, though. But the flyers are out. And talking about social media, where can they follow you and where can they consume your music or just consume you as an artist? Like, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram mostly. Okay. So that's LATIO, mm-hmm. Latio, Emmanuel, mm-hmm. Cosmos. Now you can just search Latio Cosmos. You know, I'm working. That's what I need to tap in with you guys at Kicheko, developing the artist brand. You know what I'm saying? All the different aspects of being an artist. And for me,
workshops are coming. I feel that, remember, there were like two or three artists. I don't know if you remember, from Miss E to Jolie, uh-huh, the Jamaican uh-huh. lady. Mm-hmm. You were part of that school, that institution of artists who have not been on stage in a while. It was purposely, like, shout out to Sibo. When we were deciding, like, the artist, we were like, there's a lot of magic that has never seen the light. Mm-hmm. Jolie had not been on stage for, like, what, 3 years? Mm-hmm. The other, Miss E, just came back here from California.
Yeah.
So there was this, like, needed moment of commune. Mm-hmm. Come mm-hmm. together and me too, I hadn't been on stage for a while. Let's bring this on some magic stuff. Because there are already people on the streets, bro.
Yeah.
But let's resurface and re-energize. There's a purpose of, let's reawaken.
Yeah.
I think that was my whole direction with uh-huh. Kicheko. Let's reawaken some fires. We don't need new fires. Mm-hmm. You said something important. Our ancestors already created the template.
Yeah.
Now we're recreating mm-hmm. the template that was already given. Let's go back here mm-hmm. and find what we already got.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll go back to what you say, looking for something, and you're like, are you sure you want that?
Is that
blood
what you
on
want?
Your hands?
Exactly. That's huge, man. I think, and you know, like you're saying, with all the artists coming out for the event at Kicheko Night, we just had an event on Sunday.
I was supposed to be there, but I was recording. I'm sorry, my brother. I'll come the next one.
Oh, we're doing another one. Doing another one.
For this event, don't slide through it. What is this event about? Because I know uh-huh. you are doing something huge for the refugees in Tequila. Shout out to all the refugees in Tequila.
Absolutely.
So tell us, do share. What was the event about?
So the event, it was called Après la pluie vient le beau temps. So after bad weather, after the rain comes good weather. Mm-hmm. And it was actually named by one of the refugees that's at the Tequila refugee camp.
Okay.
And, you know, just kind of taking a step back, hearing about a refugee camp in America is definitely something that I, you know, especially in that refugee camp in America, is something that I never thought I would hear.
It's an oxymoron.
It shows the times we're living in. Mm-hmm. Again, shout out to Brother Edimbo. He's the one who, you know, talked to me a little bit about, you know, there are a lot of Congolese, Venezuelan, and Angolan refugees that are, you know, in the refugee camp. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the good thing is that there has been a lot of solidarity around working to meet the needs of the refugees there. Mm-hmm. So they've you know, formulated organizations. They've mm-hmm. been protesting at different city halls, at, you know, King County Council meetings. working and fighting to be able to get housing and simple needs met. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I saw all those different, you know, movements mm-hmm. are really good. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to also tap in and bring in the artistry mm. and the importance of music as a form of not just resistance, but also a celebration mm. and as a reminder. And so the event was that, to be able to bring artists together to celebrate with the refugees and to bring more attention mm-hmm. to what is happening just down the street for a lot of us and bring to the community like, hey, a lot of us that came here came as refugees. And there are people who are here as refugees right now that are having to sleep outside in the cold, in the rain, and don't have opportunities to be able to even get work or get job. What are we going to do to show up for each other? And so just kind of building the momentum for that. And, mm-hmm. you know, we had some great artists come through, man. Mm-hmm. All of them, you know, from, you know, somewhere all the way up here from north, from Everett. Mm. You know, we had some Venezuelan artists from, you know, from Everett. And then we had some, you know, our brother Rel Be Free.
Yeah, shout out to Rel Be Free. You know, I'm about to have Rel Be Free on the hot seat.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Here, yeah. He did his thing. And, you know, Raji, he's, you know, producer, young mm-hmm. artist, killing the game, man. Mm-hmm. So we had him there. And then Angie Stacks, mm-hmm. she, you know, man, she got some bars, man. Mm-hmm. So we had some really, really good artists. And we're also working with, we worked with a community organization, Never Too Early to Innovate and Create. Mm-hmm. They allowed us to be in their space. Mm-hmm. I always want to big up, you know, people in the community who recognize the effort that people are putting in right. and come up and back you up and, you know, allow you to be able to create and innovate.
And innovate, yeah, I love that, yeah.
And so they work mostly with young Black entrepreneurs mm. and, you know, they have a shop that, you know, I definitely encourage everybody to check them out.
Check them out.
But they allowed us in their space. We did the performance and
the space is in Tequila?
No, the space was actually in downtown Seattle.
Downtown Seattle, okay.
Yeah. And so.
But the proceeds would help some of the
yeah, okay, great. You know, just raising the awareness and, you know, and I want to shout out specifically, you know, this lady, Rosario. She's
Rosario.
Mm-hmm. She is super familiar. That's a, an organization that's been doing a lot of the heavy, heavy lifting mm. of advocating for the undocumented refugees and immigrants in the Tequila refugee camp. Mm. So I want to make sure that we recognize these people who sacrifice so much to advocate for other people.
Correct.
It's not an easy thing. And mm. so, and I definitely want to encourage other people to mm. just get familiar with the situation that is happening in your backyard. Because, you know, I'll just be honest. I think that fear and anxiety sometimes blinds us to our proximity to suffering of other people. That can happen where you can begin to, you think that you're, you know, you try to cord yourself away from, you know, I don't want to get too involved in that because of risk, all these different things. But little do you know that, you know, what is affecting somebody else is going to affect you.
At some point.
Mm-hmm. And so it's better to be in solidarity and in cooperation and ahead of time in tackling these issues because many hands make light work. Mm. But if we don't come together and mm-hmm. think about these issues and solve them, mm-hmm. they're only going to grow and fester. And
they're going to encroach and come back to our backyard.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. So it's we have to, and the important thing is we have to recognize the dignity and humanity of people, man.
That's the real church.
That's, you know what I'm saying? We have to see the humanity in other people. Mm. It doesn't matter whether somebody's homeless on the street or somebody is, you know, whatever, that, you know, high visibility, whatever, doesn't matter. Every human has value. Mm. And when we fail to act like people have value, we have already lost a part of ourselves. Mm. We've already lost our own humanity. And so it's, you know, for me, at the end of the day, artists, all these things I do is about recognizing my own humanity, but then also making sure that I see other people.
I see all your humanity as well.
At the end of the day, that's all it is.
I hope y'all got that deep, deep. He has spoken so many English words that I have to digest after I edit this video, bit by bit, slower. You know what I'm saying? But what you've got from this interview is there's more to us than what you see on the streets. There's more to us than our artistry. And what the elements that shape our message, mm-hmm. they are vast. They're from different pockets. Mm-hmm. So when you see Latios in the streets, when you see Latios performing, make sure you listen to this interview so you understand what really is the opportune message of this place, optimal message to people. The message I've got from you today is when you don't think about others, you lose a part of you. So that was the biggest thing that you always think There was this just a little distraction here, but there's a Instagram page. It's about Seattle homeless people. It only shows reels of little messages from Seattle, some of Seattle homeless people.
Yeah.
So I was living close to Greenwood, Aurora area during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And there was a guy we used to like have happy hour with. Remember when they had the lockdown?
Yeah.
So it was a little hidden, there was a little bar we used to go to. It was a neighborhood bar, so they never allowed anybody else. It was called Hidden Door. So Hidden Door on 145th was a safe hub with this guy. First, good bartender, me and some, remember Kenju?
Yeah, I remember
Kenju. And some other guys. We used to go there and just chill out, and some of my cousins and whatever. I saw the guy over there. Literally took only 1 year for him to lose everything. He used to have a nice house by the lake. He used to have a very beautiful girlfriend, blonde girl, whatever. But he, like, literally saw him there. And I remember his message was, anything you see on this street, you're literally one emergency away from it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
Those refugees, I don't think anybody wanted to be born a refugee. Nobody woke up and said, my grand goal of life is to fist fight house flies and wait for this sugar and greet white people when they give me tokens. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thank you a lot for listening to us again. Tune in, follow Latios. We'll come again. Yo, you're welcome to come back again to the show.
Thank you.
Latios, more life, bro.
More life.
Yeah, let's
more
get
life,
it. Yeah.